As we struggle to look at the world from a Lutheran perspective, there are many things that would tempt us from seeking first the kingdom of God. The May issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about this. Titled, Seek First the Kingdom of God, it covers a wide range of learning how to get over our worries and fears and trust in Christ alone, to how to avoid the temptations and struggles of technology. To order your copy of the Lutheran Witness, visit cph.org/witness. You can also read more on witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We have a love-hate relationship with both of these things, labor and leisure. We idolize both. Some of us are workaholics. We think leisure is a guilty pleasure, and some of us think that labor is a necessary evil. Are either of them those things? God worked, and then he rested. Jesus has a lot to say about labor and rest as well. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be talking about the godly practice of leisure. Pastor Michael Schuerman joins us. He's pastor of University Lutheran Church in Champaign, Illinois. He's author of a column for the latest edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Our Perfect Rest. Pastor Schuerman, welcome back.
It's good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Before we get to our subject, you are in campus ministry. What has that been like over the last year plus?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's been interesting, to say the least. I mean, many of the challenges have been very similar challenges to what probably every pastor, every congregation has faced over the last year. Some unique ones here are that as a campus ministry, the majority of our congregation is made up of students who are not local. You know, they're not local to this congregation. There are guests, if you will. So here, during the pandemic, because of kind of just the kind of culture of fear that's been stoked in the United States by all sorts of sources, including the university to a certain point here, the students have been kind of taught that the best thing you can do is to like avoid people. And that's not very helpful to Christianity and receiving Christ's gifts. So there's been a great temptation to not come to church. I suppose there's always that temptation for college students, but it's an extra temptation now, and it's actually presented as a virtuous one, a virtuous action. So that's been one kind of unique temptation for us. And the other one has been the lack of our ability to make contact with students, because for whatever reason, many students show up and don't know that there's an LCMS campus ministry here at the University of Illinois. And so one of the ways that we help them be aware of that is that we get a chance to meet them face-to-face on what the university calls Quad Day, which is where we all have tables out on the quad and thousands of students show up. And you know, they may be like, oh, I'm LCMS, and look, there's an LCMS campus ministry. This is great. I didn't know this. Well, we haven't had that opportunity, so we've not been able to reach out to them from our side of things, and that's something we're really looking forward to being able to do again. In the meantime, if I may encourage, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of any campus ministry, pastors, parents, grandparents, parishioners, know who in your parish, who in your congregation are students at colleges, and get their information, their phone number, their email address, their local college mailing address. Figure out who the LCMS campus ministry is there, or, you know, honestly, if you're not Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, any campus ministry that's there, and get that information to the pastors or the church workers there at that campus ministry, because we really want that information so we can chase after these people, these dear Christians who need the gospel so badly, especially in an environment like, you know, our current higher education system creates.
To our subject for our conversation here, we tend to think of work and labor as a result of the fall. Is that what the Bible teaches?
No. I mean, the Bible certainly does teach that work becomes difficult and laborious as a result of the fall, right? Part of the curse is that from the ground, Adam has to work for his food, and it will be difficult work, right, with weeds and thorns and thistles and all that. But even before the fall, God gave the command, the mandate to Adam and Eve that they would have dominion, that they would be cultivators of the garden that he had given them. But it was a different sort of work. It was, I suppose, much more pleasurable than maybe work always is nowadays. But nevertheless, work, labor, these are things that God has given us to do from the beginning.
You say it's actually a pattern that God himself sets in his act of creation. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, God worked in a way that only he can to make the entire creation, right? By speaking it into existence over 6 days, he worked. He did this wonderful work. I mean, the work that we all benefit from as our creator. And then on the seventh day, after he had finished that work, he rested. He did it for our benefit, though, as the establishment of a pattern. We still have it to this day, right? We have the week, the seven-day week, because of God's pattern. So God sets this pattern of work and rest, and then he gives it to us. By his command, he instructs man to rest on the seventh day, or to set aside a day of rest for, not for God's benefit in this case, but for man's benefit. He establishes that pattern, and then it continues to play out to this day.
We sometimes think of work as a necessary evil. We work so that we can rest, or working for the weekend, or however we want to put it. Mm-hmm. Is that how God looks at it?
No, he doesn't. Work is a good thing. God has given us to work even from before the fall. It's not a punishment. I think I would say that God doesn't call it bad, right? We're not really allowed to call something evil or bad unless God calls it bad. And God, in fact, says work is good. He gives us work in order to receive our daily bread, but also to provide daily bread for our neighbors. You know, we work. Modern day, you go to the office so that, you know, you, your family, your coworkers, your boss, and everyone who benefits from the work of the firm or the factory or the school or whatever the place you're going to work, you're doing that work for the benefit of all these people, that they would be cared for. So that's all very good. It's hard work, possibly, but hard work is not bad. Hard work is, in fact, very good for us. So, you know, we can't call it evil if God has not called it evil, and he has not called work evil. But in fact, he says it's a good thing for us and for our neighbor.
Conversely, how do we make work an idol?
Yeah, well, you know, we make work an idol when it becomes the thing that we look to for all good. So, like Todd, I think you used the phrase, you know, working for the weekend, right? I suppose it could be an idol if I started to work only for the sake of me getting some money so I can go and just have fun. And maybe that's not the best example, but I think you kind of get the thrust of it. When work becomes the thing in which we find value and in which we think that this is what's going to reward me or make me give me value or give me everything I need to support this body and life without looking to the giver of that work and the giver of all those gifts, then it becomes an idol, just like almost anything else does, right? We can make all sorts of things into idols when they become the thing which says we're valuable or which we trust in to be cared for or to be comfortable or to be safe.
What's the danger of failing to rest from our work, to staying busy in labor all the time?
Well, people certainly need rest days, is how Luther puts it in the Large Catechism. And the reason he says that is because we can exhaust ourselves. I mean, physically speaking, like my body is not going to be able to go nonstop forever. At some point, it's going to break down. I'm going to have mental exhaustion or physical exhaustion. I'm going to injure myself. And then I'm not going to be able to care for the people whom God has given me to care for. I'm not going to be able to serve the neighbors whom God has given me to serve. Now, that may be my fault, that may not be my fault. It just depends, because we're all, our flesh is weak and sin has broken our bodies and disease reigns and these sort of things. But when it is my fault, that is when I am so pushing myself to work that I create a situation where I can't continue to serve my neighbors. That's the danger of failing to rest from work.
Pastor Michael Schuerman is our guest. We're talking about the godly practice of leisure. He's pastor of University Lutheran Church in Champaign, Illinois, and author of a column for the latest edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Our Perfect Rest. We're going to look at Exodus 31:17 next. There's a particular insight he wants to point out. We'll find out what it is after this.
I owe it all to my blue-collar roots. Feel like I'm working overtime on a runaway train. I got to bust loose from this ball and chain. I'm a hard working man. I got it all on the line for a piece of the promised land.
St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 that the Gentiles are without God in the world and without hope.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Now, that's an amazing statement. It means that to be without God is to be without hope, and the corollary, to be with God is to have hope. Christians are marked by this. We have hope. And we have hope not only in this life, but we have hope in the life to come. Our Christian hope expands past death, past the last day, even to the resurrection of the body, the new heaven and the new earth where the righteous dwell. We have this extended horizon of hope, and we dwell under that cloud of glory.
You can meet and hear Pastor Wolfmiller making the case for Christian hope at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
In a city known for the latest in songwriting and the performance of music, we offer the sweet sound of the timeless gospel and the historic liturgy in worship. Redeemer Lutheran Church in Nashville, Tennessee is a place where God's people receive the gifts of Christ and sing praises with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. If you are vacationing in Music City or are moving to the area, please join us for divine service at 10:30. Find out more at redeemernashville.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue feasting our way through 1 Corinthians with the mind of Christ, still of the flesh, no other foundation, the testing, and all things yours. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Catalina Lutheran, Tucson, Arizona. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Holy Shepherd Lutheran, Haslett, Texas. Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Emmett, Idaho. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. And Zion Lutheran, Gwinner, North Dakota. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. We're talking with Pastor Michael Schuerman about his column in the Lutheran Witness magazine on the godly practice of leisure. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Ad Crucem has produced a beautiful new confirmation gift box. It contains the Luther Rose, name of the confirmand, date of confirmation, confirmation verse, and the church and pastor's name. Check it out at adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com. Pastor Schuerman, you found an insight in Exodus 31:17 on rest and leisure. What is it?
Yeah, so this is interesting. So here in Exodus 31, it's a restatement of, you know, what God did on the seventh day, that God rested. But then it adds this word, was refreshed. And this in Hebrew, it's closely related. It's not the same word, but it's related to the word for breath or spirit or life. And so this is an interesting kind of pointer to us to see that, okay, God calls me to rest. Right? He calls me to take a break. And the reason he does that is because he wants me to be recreated, refreshed, enlivened by that rest. That's pointing us actually to a greater thing, right? Because obviously God wants my body to get rest so I can continue to work and serve my neighbor. But the rest that God ultimately has in mind is not just, you know, getting some sleep, but is actually receiving the rest that's found in Jesus Christ and his righteousness and his life and his mercy and help. That's the rest ultimately we need. Think about Ezekiel 37, right? The Valley of the Dry Bones. When Ezekiel is told to prophesy to the bones come together and the flesh comes on them. And then God says, prophesy to the breath, right? Related word to this refreshment. So this is what God wants to do to us. He wants us to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive his word, which enlivens us and makes us new and helps us and ultimately raises us from the dead on the last day. That's the rest that God is aiming at. And we see in Exodus 31, this little hint that the rest that God took himself on the seventh day as a establishing a pattern and a command for us is not really intended fully for just physical rest, but is actually aiming at our kind of full physical spiritual rest that we find in Christ.
What does Jesus have to say about rest?
Jesus wants us to hear his voice. Jesus wants us to come to where he speaks to us, where he forgives us and comforts us and restores us. He wants his people to do the work that he's given them to do in terms of preaching and proclaiming his word, the word of Jesus. So in the Bible, we have Jesus, in the Gospels, I should say, we have Jesus sending out the disciples, right, to proclaim the kingdom of God is here and to heal the sick and drive out demons and do all this work that Jesus is doing there amongst humanity in his ministry. And the disciples come back. And what does Jesus say to them? I mean, he says, I mean, I suppose in a way, good job. But then he also says, come away and rest. Why? Because you've been doing hard work. And they, doing this hard work, need not just physical rest, but they now need to be refreshed by Jesus. Well, it's the same for us, for all of us. I mean, pastors, but also every Christian, that we go out into the world every day and do the hard work that Jesus has given us to do. Right? We have neighbors to serve in our various callings. Pastors, we've got to be praying and studying and preaching and reaching out to and helping all of the Christians who are under our care in our congregations. But moms and dads, they've got kids who need to be fed and comforted and taught and taken to school or taken to sports practice. And workers have jobs they have to do. And you get the picture. We do all this work. And then Jesus says, you've worked hard. You've done all these works I've prepared for you. Now come away and rest. And chiefly, Jesus is intending us to come away to his divine service, right? To the church, to sit down in the pew and listen to his voice, which tells us that all our good works are, apart from him, nothing, but in him, wonderful. And that where we have failed, where we've been lazy, where we've been too stern, where we've had a hasty word or a hurtful word to our neighbor, all of that he has taken to the cross and paid for. So that burden is no longer on us. The burden of our sins is no longer on us, but now he carries it for us. That's what Jesus means when he says, Matthew 11, I think it is, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because that's what Jesus wants us to do. We've carried the works and weight of our sins, and we come away with Jesus, and he lifts them off of us and refreshes us.
You say Christians properly use leisure for both physical and spiritual rest. What do you mean by that?
Leisure is in part a way for us to, you know, take a load off. Like I said earlier, you know, we need sleep, right? Part of leisure might be taking a nap on Sunday afternoon or taking a vacation each year. That might be part of the way that we get a chance to get some physical rest, you know, or mental rest. But that's not enough for us Christians. I mean, we need more than that. Actually, not just Christians. Every single person, every single human being needs more than just physical rest. We also need spiritual rest. That is, we need to be relieved of the burden of our sins. And Jesus is the one who does that. We misuse leisure. We approach leisure wrongly when we say, I worked hard all week. I need to take it easy this weekend. And that includes, hey, Sunday morning, I'm going to sleep in. Maybe I'll pull the Bible out at some point, but most importantly, I just need to just chill. That's not what Jesus wants for us, because it's not actually all the good that we need. We need to go to church, not because it's a work, but because it's a place where Jesus is going to give us the true ultimate rest that he has for us. That is the rest that gives us Jesus and his righteousness and eternal life.
What does the effort that we put into leisure teach us? Sometimes our leisure is rather, as you say, if you're gardening or something like that, it's work too.
So this is my opinion, but I think most leisure is actually involves effort and work. I think that leisure generally, I mean, maybe with the exception of like sleeping, but that's sleeping. So let's set sleeping aside. But otherwise, you know, most leisure is, the point of leisure is not to just kind of veg out or disconnect from reality. In fact, that's actually probably, we can talk about that in a second, but that's probably a misuse. But the true leisure is effort. So I gave an example in this Lutheran Witness article of flower gardening. And I think it's actually, as I was thinking about it today, I think it's a good example because it can kind of be both leisure and work, what this does. So I go into this work of leisure, but as I'm doing this work, it's hopefully bringing to mind all of the ways that God promises and to me and works in my life. So, you know, I sow the seed and I think of the parable of the sower, right? I sow the seed and water it and watch the flowers come up. And I think of Paul's comment about the growth of the Christians there in Corinth, right? I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. I think about, you know, the birds and butterflies landing on the flowers and pecking at the seeds and all that. And, you know, we think about how Jesus teaches us to consider the lilies of the field or consider the birds of the air. Now that's me. I do that, you know, the flower gardening and stuff. That's what my wife and I love to do as kind of like our not job leisure, right? But it's still an effort. But think about the farmer who is, you know, out in the fields as his primary kind of calling, you know, to serve his neighbor. This is the task that he has taken up to care for his neighbors chiefly. He's working hard at it, right? And yet he has the same opportunity. So leisure is kind of a flip side thing, right? We can, it can be our chief vocation, or it can be just an avocation, a hobby, just a way that we relax. But either way, we're working at it. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a very important training of our bodies to not give in to the temptation that rest for me is supposed to be doing nothing, but instead rest for me should be doing something which gives me opportunity to reflect on and appreciate all the good gifts that God has put into my life.
Pastor Michael Schuerman is our guest. We're talking about the godly practice of leisure. When we come back, how does the Bible warn us about the misuse of our leisure? $100 condo, $200 rent. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living. Working for a living. Working for a living. Living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 Days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Do you struggle with technology? Do you struggle with its hold on your life and you wonder whether or not you're spending too much time on your devices or what this has to do with your faith? How do you use technology in a faithful way that is faithful to our Lutheran confession? Well, this question and many others are answered in the May issue of the Lutheran Witness, Seek First the Kingdom of God. Order your copy, visit cph.org/witness. That's cph.org/witness. Or visit the Lutheran Witness website at witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christian greeting card makers, gift shop owners, laser cutters, church banner creators, ornamentalists, poster purveyors, jewelry designers, fine artists, hymn writers, wood carvers, UV bed printers, and authors all love Issues Etc. And you'll find our work at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
We're talking about the godly practice of leisure. Pastor Michael Schuerman is our guest, author of a column in the latest edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Our Perfect Rest. Pastor Schuerman, how does the Bible warn us against the misuse of our leisure?
Like any good gift of God, we sinners can take it and misuse it. And leisure is no different. In fact, in our leisure, we take all sorts of good gifts of God and misuse them. The Bible talks about, this is just a list, but idleness, right? Or laziness, gluttony, that's like, you know, eating too much or drinking too much, self-indulgence, drunkenness, decadence, luxury, shallow entertainment, all these things, right? Right? God gives us wine to gladden the hearts of men, okay? Scripture speaks about this in a positive way, and yet we can take that clearly and misuse it, right? So going out and celebrating with friends and just rejoicing in the fellowship we have with one another in Christ can easily become, you can overdo it, right? You can drink too much, and now you've taken this thing that God has given us for joy and celebration and misused it. You know, he gives us a day of rest, right? This is good. it's good to take this day and rest, but that can easily be stretched into multiple days where I'm not going to do any work and instead I'm just going to be lazy, right? So we can misuse leisure in all sorts of ways. But the worst one of all is spiritual complacency. Okay? And that is when we, I kind of hinted at this earlier, right? We think, oh, I know the Bible. I don't need to make any effort to go to where Jesus is and receive his forgiveness in word and supper. I know the Bible. I don't really need to spend time reading it. I know Jesus. I believe in him. This spiritual complacency is super dangerous because it doesn't just harm the body, but it harms the soul too. It can actually harm us into unbelief and eternal death. So leisure, good gift, no doubt about it. God has given it to us. We have enormous freedom as Christians to make use of the good gifts of creation in our lives, to rest, to rejoice together, to celebrate together. But we can misuse them. And when we start to use them in ways beyond what God would give them to us for, you know, so again, taking a day of rest and turning it into two or three or multiple, even a whole week or two or a year or never working, or indulging in too much wine, all these things, this is a misuse. That when we misuse these things, that's when we're now sinning and harming ourselves, and that's not what God intends.
Scripture teaches that eternal life is Sabbath rest. Does that mean that we'll be doing nothing in the resurrection?
That's such a great question. I love this question. Well, what does Scripture say? Think about Revelation, the vision given to St. John when he's seeing the multitude around the Lamb. And what are they doing? Well, they're not just sitting there. They're worshiping God. They're worshiping Jesus. They're singing his praises. We see later on in Revelation, he's walking around the new heavens and the new earth, and there's the garden is there, right? The tree of life and all that. So we see activity. Now, some things are going to be gone, right? The curse is gone. It's taken away. It's no more. Sin is no more. So, you know, work is not going to be the laborious, difficult, you know, sweat of your brow sort of thing that it is now. But before the fall, we had work. And we continue to have work. And Scripture presents no indication whatsoever that in the resurrection that we're not going to continue to work. But it will be different. I'm really excited to see what that will be like. It's going to be excellent because it involves eternal life in the presence of God, which cannot be anything but just utter bliss and paradise.
Can we look to the pattern that we find at least implied there before the fall and write it large and say it's going to look something like the Garden of Eden, like paradise, except expanded to include the whole universe?
I believe so. I really do believe we can say that. I mean, just like how we talk about pre-fall, I mean, there's only so far we can go because outside of Scripture, our experience gives us no indication of what that was actually like, you know, because all we know is sin with a very kind of, you know, now we see in a mirror dimly sort of glimpse of what life will be like without sin anymore. But yeah, Todd, I believe we can totally say, look, before the fall, it was great. And look at the paradise that existed. And that's what's coming, except maybe even better in the new heavens and the new earth.
Finally, what does God's pattern of work and rest show us about how God saves us?
Well, I think we've got to start first and foremost. I mean, God's pattern of work and rest is established when he creates the heavens and the earth. And God's the one who does all the work. And he makes man and woman, and then he sets them in the garden and says, here it is. Here's this gift I give to you. And here's how I want you to live in this paradise, but it's I've done it for you. And in terms of how we're saved, it's the same thing. God does the work. Right? We don't do the work of salvation. We have plenty of work to do, but it's not in order to be saved. Instead, God has done the work. By the sweat of Christ's brow, he has saved us, right? By his shedding of blood, he has saved us. And even beyond the work of doing it, Christ even does the work of delivering it to us. So when we're baptized, I mean, we're not doing anything, really. It's Christ doing it. When I receive the Lord's Supper, I'm not really doing anything. I mean, I am, you know, taking and eating and taking and drinking, but it's Christ who's doing the work of giving himself to me to build up my and strengthen my faith. He does all that work. And then Jesus says, here's all this. I just want you now to rest in it. I've done all the labor, but you get the benefit. That's who God is for us. He's not a God who has just kind of done some work, but now sets us at doing everything. It's that he continually and he keeps on doing the work of coming to us, saving us, strengthening our faith, preserving us in the hope of forgiveness and resurrection.
Pastor Michael Schuerman is pastor of University Lutheran Church in Champaign, Illinois. He's author of a column for the latest edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Our Perfect Rest. Pastor Schuerman, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Seek First the Kingdom of God is the theme of the May issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. The Lutheran Witness is available in print and online. Learn more at lcms.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Friday on Issues Etc., we'll respond to your email and the Issues Etc. comment line, and we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Give your mom the gift of a clean home for Mother's Day with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. In St. Louis, call 314-416-8117. In the St. Louis Metro East, call 618-213-8296 and be sure to mention Issues Etc. Give the gift of time for your mom with a Mother's Day gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. 314-416-8117 or 618-213-8296.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.